As I talk to our pastor friends today, I want to talk about a subject that's come up to me lately, and that is several pastors, really in their 30s, maybe early 40s, have asked, you know, why don't you link your websites to, you know, prominent leaders within Christendom, or why don't you platform with certain of these leaders as far as preaching context and so forth? And certainly the Lord has blessed our ministry here at Lancaster Baptist, and we're aware that there's other things happening out across the country, and we're thankful for them. The questions that have come to me have not been necessarily from people that use the term of separation in sort of a rebel-rousing, kingdom-building type of context. It's just been from people that want to make the right decisions and have the right associations along the way. And so I thought I'd just take a little time today in our time together and talk about some of the thoughts that I have personally as it pertains to the issue of identification and why I think in terms of stewarding the influence that God has given us here in the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. And as I start this today, I want to say that a lot of times when it comes to these prominent ministries, whether they're non-denominational or some other type of Baptist or whatever, I don't think it would be appropriate in the context of a separation discussion to use a scripture like, come out from among them and be separate, in the sense of saying that they're unsaved, pagan idol worshipers. I think there may be a secondary application in some cases. I think for me, rather than view some of these folks as non-believers, and I am speaking in terms of people who preach the gospel right now, I would say the issue really has come down to more of Romans 14:16, and that is, let not your good be evil spoken of. And it is a matter of stewarding what we've tried to stand for, and not giving out the mixed signal, as the scripture refers to it, as an uncertain sound. And I think as I begin this discussion, I would say that I want to be godly enough, I want to be Christian enough to be glad when anybody's saved in whatever ministry. And I also want to be honest enough to say that there are people outside of my circle who preach portions of the truth and good portions of the truth. And so I think the Apostle Paul wrote that when that's happening, we need to rejoice that truth is getting out. Does it mean we immediately link to their blog or go to their conference or promote everything about those people? No, I don't think we do that even within the context of our own Bible-believing independent Baptist friends. So I think in all fairness, though, sometimes we are real quick to condemn, almost making it sound like everything that some of these others do is absolutely wrong. And I think that knee-jerk response sometimes is misconstrued on the part of the critics, and also on the part of maybe some younger preachers really just wanting answers. So why is it that I don't link to some of these men? Why is it that I wouldn't necessarily share a platform? And I mean, books have been written on the subject, but I'll mention a few things. And I was reading recently in Colossians chapter 2, where Paul was challenging the church at Colossae to continue abounding in the things that they have been taught. And I was thinking about what I was taught as a young man growing up in good Bible preaching churches. And some of the things that I was taught were scriptural principles. Some of those principles are still in my heart today. And I will tell you that some of the men who taught me have either left their position or failed in some way, or they're in heaven now. But what I've had to learn over nearly 30 years of preaching now is that you can't abandon what you were taught by someone just because they abandoned it or because they fell into sin or whatever. I've seen a lot of men do that, and they become reactionary in their lifestyle. And instead of being causative, going from the word forward, they just kind of react against leaders that were mean, leaders that were inconsistent, leaders that were hypercritical. And sometimes when you have a root of bitterness or a reactionary spirit, you can go so far off and you kind of miss the point of walking with balance. And so what I've had to learn is that if I was taught something that was biblically centered, it was a Bible principle, then I want to hold to that as God has convicted me to do so. And I think of six principles when it comes to who you link with and why I don't identify with some of the prominent folks that are out there in Christian leadership positions today. First of all, I want to say that I center everything we do around the fundamentals of the Word. And so when someone starts talking about people that are denying the truth, people that are apostate. I think all of us would agree that when someone has an inability, for example, to really say what's different between us and a Mormon, like Joel Osteen, I think we understand in the context of this discussion, we're not talking about people who are either false prophets or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we're talking about people who hold to fundamental doctrine. And so someone might say, well, some of the people that you wouldn't link to, they believe some of the fundamental doctrines. So there's no argument there. And I would say, you're right, but I need to stress that when I speak in terms of holding to fundamental doctrine, there are also some practical aspects of how we carry out that doctrine, and there are also some biblical principles that are fundamental and sometimes left out of the discussion. So let me bring up not just the fundamental doctrine, because someone would say, well, others believe that too. Let me bring up four or five other thoughts that come into my heart. The first thing I would mention is the fact that we are cessationists, and that is to say that as Baptists and in our church, we truly believe that where there were tongues, they have ceased. We believe that the Word of God is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. While there are many people today who are prominent, I'm amazed with two or three of those who are having a lot of traffic on the internet to find that while they're fairly orthodox in their theology, they're not cessationist. Now, to say that tongues has ceased is fairly basic, but I think many are unaware that some of these who have tremendous blog traffic and tremendous presence on the internet and across the country today are really open to further revelation. I don't know if they do that because they truly believe in and practice speaking in tongues, but maybe it's more of a spirit of marketing and staying open to larger audience. But I just want to say that why would we link with someone who is open to continuing revelation? And so, number one, yes, we're fundamental. Number two, I am a cessationist. And then thirdly, and this is something that is personal with me, and I think with many pastors as well, and that is that I just don't believe that Christians in general, and pastors in particular, should drink alcohol. I know there's different arguments. I've written a brochure. I've done the word studies on the word oinos. I've tried to understand the context. I've personally come to the place of believing that our Lord did not create fermented grape juice. I personally do not believe that it's God's will for us to look upon the cup when it moveth itself and so forth. And I'm just at peace with that. But even for those who want to argue the word definition, I think it is a scriptural position that we come to in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe, 8, verse 13, which speak about not offending a brother. And I know as a leader, as a pastor here in California, ministering to a lot of different people, that's the last thing I want to do is cause an offense or be a stumbling block in that area. And I want to say that some of these men who are again, prominent, maybe they preach the gospel, and again, being thankful for the things they say that are right. Not only are they not cessationists, but they're also drinkers, and even at some of their pastors' fellowships have drinking. And so I, again, would feel that it would be a poor testimony on my part to promote that type of a pastor as it pertains to that particular issue. And then I think something that's fairly obvious to most of our friends, that is that we truly believe in the preservation of Scripture. I personally believe that God has preserved His Word in the King James Version of the Bible. Again, books have been written on that. Our ministry here, Striving Together Publication, has published a more sure word. And you're welcome to get a copy of that for an at-length discussion. But many of these men are promoting so many different versions. One of the favorite versions of this hour is called The Message. And I was reading just recently a little review on that Bible. And in John 3:17, the King James Version says that the world through him might be saved. And we thank God for that. In The Message, it says, he came to help to put the world right again. And, you know, this whole trend away from words like saved, blood, and so forth, is a concern to most of us. And so, again, Colossians 2:6, abounding in the things that we have been taught. I was taught, yes, the fundamentals, but I was also taught cessationism, that the Word of God is our final authority. I was taught that I should not, as a leader, drink. I was taught that the Word of God has been preserved and to be careful about any version that waters down the truth. Of course, I was taught personal holiness, and that the church and the Christians within the church should have a measure of personal holiness come out from among them, is a verse that you might use on a personal level with identifying with non-believers. But then we also have the scripture, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And I just really believe that a lot of these leaders have over-contextualized their idea of contextualization, their idea of relevancy has just gone way beyond even sometimes the norms of society. When you start playing the world's rock music to attract the world, you're losing all the salt and light. And someone says, but he preached a really good message, this guy did, against abortion, or he preached the gospel and I saw some people get saved. And again, I'm not saying that everything they do is wicked or wrong. I'm just saying I personally believe that we need to be careful with the doctrine of God's holiness and sanctification, and that church needs to be distinct. We're commanded to be holy and separate. I know some of these that espouse these tools would quote those same verses, but I really believe personally in my heart that there's a problem with the conforming to the world in many of these mega churches today, and that their product, their Christian product, is oftentimes not coming out from the tattooed, pierced lifestyle of provocative speech and so forth, just kind of remaining comfortably in that. And I really believe that the church is a called out assembly. There should be a distinction in the church. And then I'll just say finally, number six, why I wouldn't link up in some of these cases as far as a public linking is frankly that I am a Baptist. Doesn't mean I don't have friends who aren't Baptist. It doesn't mean I don't appreciate the works of others. I'd have lunch with somebody and pray for them. And it's not to say that we're, you know, believe Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. But in reality, I, as a pastor for 25 years, have believed and taught the Baptist distinctives, and whether it's Bible authority only, that would put away the cessationism, the autonomy of the church, that brings me away from denominationalism, the priesthood of the believer, the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table, individual soul liberty, etc. In our church, for example, we've never received someone into membership who was baptized under the authority that we felt was not biblical authority. So someone comes in from the Assemblies of God. For 25 years, we've said, if you're coming to the conviction that tongues have ceased and that you believe that, as we do, that the Bible is God's final authority, and you want to identify with Christ and the church here, we've asked them to be baptized here. And it's helped us to maintain our perpetuity as a local church doctrinally as Baptists. And not everyone has that practice. Others practice their Baptist polity differently. But I'm just saying that's what I've been taught. I am a Baptist. And so there are some legitimate thoughts and concerns. Can we learn something from someone who's outside of these five or six things I've mentioned? Yes. Should we always, every day, try to pick a fight with them? I don't think so. I think my main responsibility is to preach the gospel. Although when the Word of God is compromised, I'm willing to contend and stand up for the faith. So I believe that God would have us to recognize that we don't want to let our good be evil spoken of, and that as Bible-believing pastors, we need to take the right stand with the right spirit. And I don't think we need to condemn a young preacher because he's read something by one of these people and make him feel like he's a heretic. On the other hand, I think we can challenge our preacher brethren. Hey, be careful about endorsing that or putting it on your church website. Because the fact is, you may not want all of your people being led into these concepts and such. And so I think these are some things to think about as shepherds, and having the right spirit but taking the right stand and continuing in the things that we have been taught. And thanks a lot for listening and thinking through some of these with me. Have a great week.